Welcome to The Harvest, Atlanta's home for information and inspiration for living your season of life with grace. Brought to you by Senior Provisions, your resource for true solutions in senior care. From life planning to home care to assisted living, Senior Provisions is your trusted resource in navigating the harvest season of your life. Now, here's your hosts, Hans and Amy.
Good morning and welcome to The Harvest. We are so glad you joined us today, and it is our prayer that today's show is inspiring, informative, and gives glory to our Lord. I'm Hans, and I am seated next to my ever-patient, ever-kind wife.
Aw, thank you. So we just celebrated Halloween.
Did we celebrate Halloween?
Oh, yeah. Now I've just brought up like a whole nother conversation.
I'm not big on Halloween. I don't have any like religious, I don't put upon Halloween my faith beliefs, but it just is a weird dynamic. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's some dark part of my identity that thinks going around begging for candy. Even as a child, it felt weird. Yes, I did beg for candy, and yes, I did eat the candy. So there's some hypocrisy to that.
But I think so, too. And I know that not everyone celebrates Halloween, and celebrate maybe is not necessarily the right word.
Recognize. Participate.
I hand out candy because I like to see the sweet little faces as they come to the door. But this year, oh my goodness, they're like throwing their hands into the bowl, grabbing fistfuls of candy.
Fistful of dollars.
Yeah. And I'm like, no thank yous. So I was like, okay, maybe the Henschel house might be dark next year.
Whoa.
I know. Wow. We just might have to do that. No candy from us. I need some thank yous.
Wow.
I'm old school.
I thought it was just about the giving. No?
I am happy to give, but I need a thank you. Southern mama in me.
Yeah, we got to the bottom of that. That's good.
So we are well into fall and starting a whole month of thankfulness. And we are so blessed and thankful to be on this show and to be talking and speaking to seniors out there in the community. We're doing a ton of education. See what I did there?
Yeah, I'm just laughing off. Well, I guess it is on camera, but I'm laughing because you forgot to raise your stool to a level that puts us more eye to eye. I think the stools are level with each other. And so
there
I'm
we
like,
go. Now we're.
Yes. Now we see eye to eye.
That's right. We're equal, but not same.
Okay.
Yeah.
No hit points here.
Community education.
Yes.
That we are out in the community and it's been a lot. We've done almost, Senior Provisions has been out in the community and we've been doing almost 4 events a week. Mm-hmm. And partly because there's such a need and a demand for information on senior care. So we've had some wonderful, incredible education coming out and coming up. And just want to remind everyone as a faith educator role with the Alzheimer's Association, reach out to us and let us know if your church would like some information and education on Alzheimer's and dementia. I'm happy to come out and present the information. It's tremendous presentations through the Alzheimer's Association. And just want to also give you a little heads up about some upcoming shows. We have a wonderful show coming up the week of Thanksgiving, and we are going to be highlighting warning signs and things to look at when you go home and visit your loved ones. So you don't want to miss that one for sure. And we're going to be re-airing that around Christmas as well.
Right.
So as you go home and you are seeing your parents that you haven't seen in a couple of months, and you're noticing some things around the house, we're going to just equip you and arm you with some information.
Very good.
Absolutely. That's all I have today.
We want to thank the American Parkinson's Association, the Georgia chapter, for their support of the Harvest Radio Show. They are a trusted partner for resources and support for families dealing with Parkinson's. If your loved one has been recently diagnosed or care at home has become a challenge, please give us a call and we would love to help. Our number is 888-979-8783. And thank you, American Parkinson's Association, Georgia Chapter, for your support. We have a great timely Spotlight Caregiver question. It comes to us from Facebook. It says, we are traveling with my parents over the holidays. How can we stay healthy, but especially my elderly parents? I want to avoid them getting sick during
That's
our
good.
Trip.
Did that question come in with that
elderly,
little
elderly?
That is an awesome question. So we've got, I actually was traveling over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I had to fly home for a funeral of a grandparent. And so I'm not going to talk about that right now or I'll start crying. But on the flight, everyone was coughing except me. And then, of course, I get home and I'm lagging a little bit. So I'm sure I'm fighting off everything that was on that airplane. And then you will be too.
Yes. And then she passes it on.
I do. So here's some great tips.
And a lot of these are basics, but they have to go apart. They have to be a part of this conversation.
Absolutely.
So wash hands. Please wash hands. We have a habit. Whenever we come home, wash your hands before you do anything in the house. It's just a great practice.
Absolutely. That's rule number one. So when you're out and about, whether you're in the car and going in and out of restaurants or gas stations, or you're on an airplane, definitely before you eat, before you touch your eyes, your mouth, your nose.
Mm-hmm. Not head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
No, eyes, mouth, nose.
Yes.
Wash your hands. And if you don't have access to warm water and soap, a little hand sanitizer.
Goes a long way.
Yes.
Take vitamin C. It's a great time to boost up your vitamin C levels to help fight off those germs.
And I did it before the trip, and I took my vitamin C this morning. So I'm trying to fight off any germs that might have come home with me.
You're doing a great job.
Avoid others if you can that are sick.
Not just avoid others, but avoid others that are sick.
Okay, so
clear.
And if you can't, and you're in a situation like an airplane. I did see several people wearing face masks. I'm going to be honest. I kind of laughed a little bit inside my head, and now I'm not laughing. I wish I had.
Joke's on you.
Exactly. Especially if you have a compromised immune system, go ahead, get a face mask and put it on when you're out and about traveling.
And here's probably the most important, drink fluids. When you're traveling, your schedule's off. If you're on the road, you're just not as mindful about how many fluids you're taking in, how much water you're putting in your system, but you need to keep your fluid levels up. Otherwise, all the infections come about. So, keep your drink.
And try to get some rest. Our bodies fight off germs the best when they are rested and hydrated and well fed. And finally,
What?
Get your immunization. So
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say flu shot. Get your flu shot. Make sure you have your shingles shot. You are an older adult. Check with your parents' doctors. Have your parents check with their doctors and make sure that they have all of the latest and greatest shots.
Right. And also just a tip, that's a part of that is back that up, because a lot of times when you get those immunization shots, you do even have a couple of days later that you are just dragging a little bit, and that's your body kind of coming up to speed, fighting off and gaining the benefits of that shot. So don't go taking that, the day or two before you're planning to take off on your big trip.
So just to recap, you're traveling, you're worried about your adult parents, you're worried about yourself getting sick. Because if you're a caregiver, the last thing you need is to be fighting off the flu. So make sure that you are washing your hands, taking vitamin C, avoiding others that are sick. Wear a face mask if you can. Get plenty of rest. Drink lots of fluids. And make sure you're up to date on all of your immunizations. And have a great time.
Yes.
Don't forget to have a great time. So speaking of great times, we have a great show today. If you're listening, we are going to take a...
What a segue.
I know. Hey, I'm the queen of segue now.
Yeah. We'll get you a sash.
You're going to get me a sash. And I'll wear it. Hey, we are going to be talking about caregiving today, but with a twist. We are going to be looking at caregiving from the care receiver's perspective. There are many things that we can learn about how to give care when we step into someone's shoes and we understand and appreciate how they feel. So today we are going to be talking about walking in their shoes, empathetic caregiving. It's going to be kind of a twist, a different perspective, and we want you to hold on so that you can hear this show and get some great insight. You are listening to The Harvest.
Places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone, and some remain. All these places have their moments.
Do you know someone who is living with Parkinson's disease? Every 9 minutes, someone in the U.S. is diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The American Parkinson's Disease Association's Georgia chapter is here to help. Every day, they provide the support, education, and research that will help everyone impacted by Parkinson's disease live life to the fullest. For reliable information, local educational programs, and caring support groups, please visit apdaparkinson.org/Georgia or call 404-325-2020.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Every day I manage hundreds of employees and run a successful IT company, but when the doctor diagnosed Mom's Alzheimer's disease and told us she could no longer live alone, I was at a loss at what to do next. Our pastor recommended calling Senior Provisions. He said that they were a trusted resource and that they could help us find a community that met our current and future needs and fit our budget. Senior Provisions guided us through the whole transition. And now Mom loves her friends, feels safe, and we have peace of mind.
Senior Provisions is a no-cost service to families committed to helping find true solutions for your senior care needs. We will help you find trusted providers for home care or help with placement at an assisted living within your budget. Call Senior Provisions at 888-979-TRUE to get the help that you have been searching for. Call today and get the peace you need. 888-979-TRUE.
Welcome back to The Harvest. We are so glad you joined us. If you are on Facebook Live, we're so glad for you all watching us. You kind of get a little bit more behind the scenes today. We're missing an audio jack that kind of plugs you into our intro music and our outro and commercials, but this is a more stripped down production today.
Ooh, I like that.
So we're talking about empathetic caregiver and a receiver's perspective on caregiving. So have you ever been in a hospital or been sick at home? Have you had to rely on someone else to take care of you? And the question is, how did that feel? And what was it about that experience that you wish you could have communicated to them so that they would better understand how you were feeling and what you really needed? We are joined today to discuss empathetic caregiving with Pat Baker, Director of Older Adult and Caregiver Ministries at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church here in Tucker, Georgia. Pat, thank you so much for being part of The Harvest.
Great. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much. Hey, Pat, it's Amy.
Hello.
Well, you know, I told Hans, I said, I'm just going to let you introduce her a little bit, but I want you to share with our listeners, you have such a rich background in older adult senior services. Tell our listeners about yourself and a little bit about your background.
Okay, I'll be glad to. I actually decided when I was in college that I was going to work with older adults. So my grandmother had been diagnosed with a dementia. which they called senility at the time. And it interests me that this bright RN all of a sudden was having a difficult time remembering things and was doing a lot of really weird things. And so I thought, you know, what's going on with this? So she was sort of my inspiration to look deeper into working with older adults and to try to understand some of the difficulties that they are going through. So my first job right out of college was in a nursing home. And then I got involved soon after that with the new government programs that provided senior centers and transportation all across the United States. And really through my 47-year career now, most of the work that I have done has been in the government sector of working with older adults and the programs that serve older adults who are trying to age in place in their own homes.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. You are such a resource. And the county that we live in, that's when I first met you, was through that county's senior service program. And I, you know, there's a lot of great counties out there, but I kind of feel like the mark that you left on Gwinnett County was huge, such an impact that you have made. And you bring all of those, all of that experience and knowledge. And now serving in a ministerial role, which, I mean, frankly, you've been in ministry for years in the churches that you've served in. And now you're serving at St. Andrew's. And tell us a little bit, first of all, is there a particular scripture or a life verse that really has carried you through the years or one that you're standing on today?
Oh, yeah, and actually I kind of have one when I think about caregivers, and I have one when I think about care receivers, people that are receiving care. So I guess my one when I think of caregivers is the John 15:12-13. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down their life for their friends or family. So I think caregivers often are called to do that, and they are truly showing the love of Christ through their care, to their family members, or if they're a professional caregiver, through the people that they care for.
That is awesome. And you have one for a care receiver as well?
Jeremiah 29:11. If I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I think oftentimes caregivers feel no hope. They don't really want to be receiving care. They really want to be independent, and that they really need to look at their inner self and their spiritual selves to take on that and receive that help.
So, care receiving, we really kind of set you up. Our show is walking in their shoes, empathetic caregiving. And really, when I asked you, Pat, of all the things that you want to talk about today, what is the focus that you wanted to talk about? You wanted to talk about the perspective of the care receiver. Tell us about why you've chosen that and how, just share a little about how important this is to you.
Well, I've been doing caregiver support groups since about 1981. I was when I held my first caregiver support group, and now I'm facilitating three caregiver support groups. So I talk to a lot of people who are giving the care, but I often remind them that even though their life is challenging as a caregiver and they're dealing with so many different things, they need to also walk in the shoes of the person that they are caring for. And that's really important to me because I think people kind of get lost in the challenges as a caregiver and don't think about the person that is having to take that care. We all know it's kind of easier to give than to receive, and that is such a true statement. So I guess I don't want the caregiver to kind of get into the role of they're feeling really put upon by the person they're caring for, and we don't want the care receiver to look at them being a victim.
Right.
And so I just really think that's really important that we look at the integrity of the care receivers and to let them know that there's they go beyond kind of the physical self, but also their spiritual caregiving, the care receiver's life, and that they have to make choices themselves. They need to stress the importance about by being verbal to the one that's caring for them, mm-hmm. and expressing their feelings of what they want and what they don't want. And I kind of think that's kind of spiritual mobility. If they are able to communicate well with the person that's giving them care, then the care on both sides is going to be a whole lot better.
That's fantastic. I think, I can certainly personalize some of this with my own, watching my mom and my dad interact with caregiving. But can you share a story with us where you've seen this change in perspective really have a major impact?
Well, I'm reminded of a man who was a psychologist and would work with different groups and support groups and things like that. And he was, he wrote an article many years ago that talked about how he was working with a support group of persons that were going through rehabilitation from losing limbs, and they were amputees, and he would meet with them, and they were pretty cynical about their position and really weren't getting into to receiving care graciously. Mm. And so at that time, he was also trying to write a manual on coping with being an amputee. So he took a little bit of a different tack with them, and he said, okay, so I need y'all to help me to be able to write this manual on how I can help amputees in the future through counseling. And so once they became part of that care, once they were brought into kind of, you know, how they can help him to write this manual, then they really opened up their hearts, mm-hmm. and they really opened up their feelings. And they really kind of started supporting each other because they were taking part in something that was going to help the future of persons that were like them.
Mm. They found a purpose.
Right. Mm. Yep.
That's very profound. I know you mentioned this, that not only does this help understanding the perspective of the care receiver, but really it helps the caregiver. And how does it impact the caregiver when they can take a moment and step into the care receiver's shoes and really kind of consider what it's like to be on that side? How does that impact the caregiver?
Well, it really gets them to think about things. And so some of the questions that I ask in my caregiver support groups is I ask them about what they think receiving help feels like. To get them to start thinking about what it was like, you know, what they think it would be like to receive help.
Right.
And then, you know, we ask have them ask their care receivers, you know, if they were taking care of their parents, what was that experience like? We get them to go back into and inquire of the person that they're giving care to talk about their past experience, whereas they might have been a care giver at one time. And then we talk about, I always talk about, you know, you're setting an example for your family. The way you care for somebody else and the way somebody receives care is going to be seen by children, grandchildren. And so what kind of example are you setting for them? And you can kind of use that receiving care graciously as a teaching tool for other generations.
I love that. That's a perspective I didn't even consider. But it's so true. Our younger generation, they're watching. They're watching us and how we're interacting and how the not only just what's coming out of our mouth, but how we are handling these very stressful situations. Pat, we're going to take a break here. And then if you will stay with us, we're going to dive into this perspective and this topic even more on the other side of the break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Pat Baker. Just a wealth of experience and information. And we are going to continue to talk about how we can and should consider caregiving from the care receiver's point of view. Thank you for listening to The Harvest. Stay with us.
Baby, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me, no matter where you are. No matter how far.
Don't worry.
the Harvest. We're so glad you joined us today. We have a great conversation going. We're talking about caregiving from the caregiver perspective. And we have on our show Pat Baker, Director of Older Adult Caregiving Ministry from St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Tucker, Georgia. Pat, thank you so much for being a part of our program.
You're welcome.
So I have a question for you, and that is, we've been talking about this perspective, and how can someone get some training out in the community to be, you mentioned your support groups. Is there any other specific training that you're aware of?
Specifically for care receivers, not necessarily any training, but I think they need to, try to read books that are from the perspective of an older adult themselves. And one of my favorite books of all time is a book called What's Worth Knowing. Wow. It is by Wendy Lustbader, Lustbader, What's Worth Knowing. And she interviews lots of older folks in this book and talks to them about what's worth knowing about their experiences growing older, and a lot of them are receiving care from others. And so I find real inspiration from that book because it really makes you look at the perspective of the older adult themselves or the person that might be receiving care.
That's terrific. I think just even talking about this topic and this kind of twist on caregiving is kind of how I introduced it. And it's not so much a twist. This is absolutely, I always tell folks, if you're going to take on the task of caregiving, one of the first things that we need to do is to consider what it would be like to be in their shoes. And suddenly you are doing things for an individual who can no longer do things for themselves. In senior care, dementia is a major diagnosis across the board. How does dementia make this an even greater challenge for care receivers and caregivers?
Well, I think the main thing is that caregivers cannot assume that the person they're caring for is going to ever get dementia. That we seem to be lumping people. If you're older, then your chance of getting dementia is huge. It is larger, but it's not inevitable. And I think we need to look more at each individual. One of the what's worth knowing, one of the big topics is, 60 is different than 90, and you can't lump everybody together.
Yes.
And so we've got, if you're a caregiver caring for somebody and you know somebody that's in their 60s that might be disabled, or you know somebody that's a feisty 90-year-old, then you really can't lump everybody into one of those two roles. You have to really look at the person you're caring for and to treat them as who they are, not as what you want them to be or what you expect them to be. And I think that's really important, especially when we're talking about dementia.
And
we also need to remember that, old age is not for sissies. Art Linkletter once wrote a book called that. that we find ourselves, we might be, as a care receiver, find ourselves outliving our children, our grandchildren, spouses. And I know my husband's grandmother lived to be 102.
Wow.
And when her grandson died in a motorcycle accident, that was just the worst thing. Why was she continuing to live, well into her hundreds when she was losing a grandson who was in his 20s?
Mm.
And so you have a lot of losses in life, besides your health. You lose your independence, you lose your home, maybe your income, the security. And we really need to look at all of those things.
I agree. 100%. There's a fabulous training out there. I know you all have, you're aware of it, the Virtual Dementia Tour, and there's some other training out there. Years ago, our company, Senior Provisions, put a whole Jerry Psychiatric Hospital through the Virtual Dementia Tour, and we had caregivers crying, coming out. It gives an opportunity for caregivers to walk in the shoes of someone who is suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia. And, you don't want to give too much away on this, but it really does create a deep empathy because right. you realize a lot of times what they're doing, how they're acting, how they're behaving, what they're saying is due to, you know, this declining brain disease.
Faculty loss.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so true. And that is, that's excellent training and a very good example of something that people can do.
Well, Pat, you probably have been hearing as well in reading all of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution articles that have been coming right. out. And we've been talking about the staffing challenge, just not having enough staff out there. But the other big challenge is training. Can you speak right. into the need for empathy training in our frontline caregivers and communities?
Well, and that is so true. And I think that the demand of the job is so great. And a lot of people are not professionally trained before they get the job. And so they really, you know, the company that hires them, I believe, really has the responsibility to give these people the training that they need.
Right.
And because there certainly is a lot of opportunities for training out there. I'm a trainer with the Rosen Carter Institute for Caregiving, where they're dealing with dementia classes. And to me, everybody that works in a every staff person that works in a memory unit should have that training.
Mm-hmm.
It is a training that puts them in the shoes of the person that has dementia, gives them clues and strategies on how they can deal with difficult behaviors with someone that has dementia, how they can communicate. I mean, it's just really an excellent training. And it, you know, to me, I think it should be required by everybody. But there really is some really good training out there that you know, businesses could take advantage of if they would allow that time for their staff.
Right. No, and I think, you know, we've all experienced this firsthand. I mean, I refer to my mom and dad and the caregiving cycle that my dad went through with my mom, and it was always about a lack of. I mean, he did amazing and she received an amazing, but at the root of it, and I think what we're talking about here is that it's about an erosion of your identity and your independence. And
yeah.
with every single event, and if it's wound care, it is a very, you know, daily activity of service and necessity. And I think that at the heart of it, you build up that resentment, you get tired, you get fatigued, the pattern of it, and then you
right.
forget that perspective of the receiver, that yep. they would love nothing better than to not spend their morning having this, you know, having this need and having, you know, this loss of independence.
Yeah. One of my favorite chapters in What's Worth Knowing is one that's called an older woman who's interviewed says that persons who find success in old age have learned to like their own company. I really like that.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
I think so often caregivers feel like the person they're caring for needs to be active all the time, and they're really upset if mom just sits around and watches TV and doesn't do much. But they really have to look at specifically each person that they're caring for and what their needs are. And sometimes people just, you know, want to sit back and contemplate.
Right.
They don't want to be busy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And those are people that have learned to like their own company. And I just love the thought of that and thinking about that when it comes to the care receiver and to let the caregiver know that that's a possibility.
Right. I want to circle back to community training, too, at facilities. And I think it also probably carries back to the caregiver at home. Is how have you seen this training affect abuse levels, like that tendency of aggravation? How have you seen training kind of curb that?
Well, it could be huge. You know, understanding the disease through the virtual dementia tour or through the dealing with dementia training through the Rosen Carter Institute or some of the other training that is out there provided for, you know, professional caregivers. You know, we all know that if we're better equipped to do a job, we're going to do a better job
mm-hmm.
all the way around. Those that are not equipped well and don't really know, you know, what's going on with the person they're taking care of, will fall into that rut of using what they think works, but might not be a proven model. You know, we talk about evidence-based programs, and when we look at training for caregivers, we often advise that they go through some of the evidence-based programs out there.
Absolutely. Well, Pat, we're going to wrap up and head into a commercial here. How can folks learn more about your ministry or reach out to you?
Okay. I am at St. Andrews. I've tithed my time at St. Andrews. That's my instead of giving monetarily, I'm giving of my time. And I'm here on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, mostly. But they can always call the office here at St. Andrews to talk with me if they'd like. My number here is 770-938-2833. And I'm extension 111.
Thank you.
And then personally, I'm home and doing a lot of other things, but they're welcome to reach me via email. My email is P like in Pat, C like in Cat, Baker, B-A-K-E-R, 22@comcast.net.
That's awesome. Thank you. And we'll put all of that contact information up on our Facebook page. Thank you so much, Pat. When we come back, we are going to finish our discussion on empathetic caregiving. We're going to leave you with some practical ways today to get through that enormous task of taking care of a loved one. It is not for the sissies either. So thank you. Get your pad and pencil. Stay with us. We've got some great information yet to come.
Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this. One, you don't need to worry. There'll be days like this.
Dad's stroke took us all by surprise, and we didn't realize how bad Mom's memory loss had gotten. We were overwhelmed and confused and couldn't trust the information we found on the internet. We needed someone who understood what we were going through and someone who knew how to help. When the social worker recommended that we contact Senior Provisions, it was an answered prayer.
When you call Senior Provisions, one of our local advisors will personally meet with you and assess your loved one's needs. They'll help you find a trusted provider for home care or help with placement at an assisted living within your budget. Senior Provisions is a no-cost service to families committed to helping find true solutions for your senior care needs while protecting your privacy. Call Senior Provisions at 888-979-TRUE to get the guidance that you have been searching for. Call today. We hope to be your answered prayer. 888-979-TRUE.
Giving back to the communities where we live, work, and worship is something Thrivent Financial takes pride in. Strengthening communities and helping you be wise with money is a part of Thrivent's mission as a not-for-profit financial services organization. That's why Thrivent is proud to support The Harvest. Thrivent Financial helps Christians make financial choices that reflect their values, something they call the Wise with Money journey. Their financial professionals are real people who apply their faith, their passion, and expertise to help you be wise with money so you can live a more content, confident, and generous life. To learn more, contact your local financial professionals, Greg Bickhart, Jennifer Yankowski, Kelly Goldsmith, or Rodney Hill at 404-YOU-THRIVE. That's 404-884-7483. Or email them at thriventseniorsolutions@thriventsolutions@thriventsolutions.com. Thrivent Financial. Be wise with money.
Welcome back to The Harvest. We hope you've been enjoying today's show. I think it's a great topic to talk about. We're talking about empathetic caregiving, having the perspective of the care receiver as a tool to help you become a better caregiver.
I love this. Oh my gosh. And we did a little adjustment during break.
Yeah, you have no idea how high maintenance this lady is.
So we do not use soup cans, Campbell soup cans. We actually use mics and headphones, and sometimes the headphones don't work. So I'm actually hearing myself for the first time. I think that's pretty professional that I could actually do the show and not even hear myself.
Amazed. They are so impressed.
So, oh my gosh.
we're going to talk about this the last segment.
No, we're not going to. This is not what our segment's about, but I just had to throw that in. So let's do this.
What?
We have a great scripture. And I think it speaks into the whole show topic of looking at it from walking in someone else's shoes. So Philippians 4, 6 through 7, God promises to give us peace. And so whether we're caregiving or care receiving, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Mm. Amen to that.
I know. And that's kind of what we want to finish up the show with is we're going to talk about caregiver stress a little bit. You have some statistics to share?
Yeah. I mean, caregiver stress, it is in about 70% of caregivers, there are severe signs of depression.
70%. Wow.
One third of them have medical issues themselves as caregivers. For those that are living and caring for someone, a majority of them also work a 40-hour a week.
Providing that care.
And then there's a statistic on top of that, that over one third of those people providing full-time care in the amount of 40 hours also work a full-time job.
And I think if you're listening and you're a caregiver, you're just shaking your head. You're like, yes, Hans and Amy.
Well, that would be nodding.
Nodding, yes.
Up and down,
yes.
Shaking side to side.
I have signs of depression. I have medical issues, and I am working a full-time job on top of working a full-time job.
Yep.
And I know that is tough. And so you think, okay, now, not only that, now I've got to step into someone's shoes and try to appreciate how they're feeling. But I want to encourage you on being a better caregiver for yourself and for the loved one that you are caring for. There are some key things that you can do, and you can do this with your care receiver, with your loved one. So first and foremost, get rest. I know when we had little ones, and that's caregiving as well. Mm-hmm. So if you don't, if you're not caregiving for an older adult, but maybe you're caring for some younger children, maybe you're a foster mom, foster parent. When you are caring for young ones, it's important for them to get rest, but also for you to get rest.
Right. I mean, that rhythm of when the baby takes a nap, mama takes a nap.
Absolutely.
Because when baby's up, mama or daddy's up.
Yep.
So it's
absolutely
a very important rhythm to kind of take those opportunities to recharge yourself.
Absolutely. Instead of rushing around and trying to get everything done when your loved one is resting or sleeping, I know it's prime time to get some things done, but also maybe in that afternoon time, take a 15, 20 minute close your eye rest. It will refresh you, renew you like nothing else. And even if you don't sleep, take that time to pray or to put in some earbuds and put some worship music on, and you might fall asleep. I've fallen asleep so many times praying myself to sleep. I know you have as well.
Mm-hmm.
But just worshiping, and you can even turn that music on out in the room. It's amazing. We had some friends that every time we went to their home, they had Christian music on. And it's really hard to kind of get frustrated and upset when you are hearing how great is our God in the background. It's amazing how, and we talked about on our last show last week, the magic and impact that music has.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you to implement that into your day to day.
Another big component of this is obviously eating well and exercising. So I know, you know, some of this is met with skepticism. But you have to find balance in your life to be an effective caregiver, and this is one way of doing it, and it also applies to the person you're giving care to, what exercise they're capable of doing, but both of you need to eat well, eat healthy, and have a good diet.
I have the once-a-day rule. So once a day, no matter what you've eaten, no matter how bad it's been or how much, you know, sweets you've eaten, once a day, eat something that fuels your body and feeds your body in a healthy way. It could be an apple. an apple and a chunk of cheese in the afternoon. Eat something good for you. And once a day, move your body. I mean, that could be a, I know Christian, our producer, does this every day. Has
chair,
a little
chair exercises?
No, not chair exercises. Dance party. He has a little dance party.
Oh, does he? I didn't know that. I haven't seen that.
He puts his little headphones on. He has a little dance party. He has
dance
a,
like nobody's watching?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Dance like nobody's watching.
I've missed that.
You've been watching, apparently. Oh, I don't know. That's a little creepy. And then I just want to encourage you to slow down and just know and accept that everything cannot and will not be perfect. If you've got the perfection disease, I'm going to cure you today.
Right.
The only person who is capable of being perfect and was perfect and is perfect is Jesus Christ. So you are going to have great days where you are on point and you are rocking it. And you, there are going to be days that you are going to be failing miserably, whether it's at work, whether it's with parenting, whether it's your personal goals. You are going to be in a position where you are failing at some point. And those are the days that we need Jesus the most. Those are the days that you need to forgive yourself as your Father in heaven has forgiven you.
Right.
And give yourself some grace. Mm-hmm. And start new. There's a reason we have a sunrise every morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing I want, it's not a part of this list, but I think it's really a critical part, is to always assess how you're doing and how your caregiving skills are doing in balance of life and a balance of that person receiving it. And is there a point where you need some help? You need some support, because caregiving in a facility or is a 24-hour cycle. It's 3 8-hour shifts of three different people who are rested, prepared, trained. Give that some thought so that you're not setting yourself up for day after day of challenges that you can't rise to.
And we're going to close with this poem, and we'll put this up on Facebook for you. My mind is young and my body is getting old, but God keeps refining me from silver into gold. My strength is weak and my hips are fake. God is still trying in me his image to make. My hair is thinning and my knees knock. God continues to work against the clock. My fingers are crooked and my toes are bent, but God always reminds me why his son was sent. My neck doesn't bend and my shoulders sag, but God holds me up so I won't drag. My spine is crooked and my ankles are swollen, but God is letting me know that soon I'll be golden. In Zechariah 13:9, it says, I will bring the third part through the fire, and we will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
Wow, that's beautiful.
It is. That's a lovely poem. I'll post that up on Facebook.
Well, I want to thank Thrivent Financial for their support of the Harvest Radio Show. They're here as financial advisors and insurance brokers to help Christians be wise with their money and live generously. To reach them, call 404-YOU-THRIVE. Thank you, Thrivent Financial.
And we also want to thank Senior Provisions. We haven't mentioned them much this show, but they are a team of incredible senior care advisors who are ready to help you answer any senior care question and walk through this journey of caregiving and finding senior care options out there in the greater Southeast and Atlanta area. You can call them at 888-979-8783 or find them on their website at seniorprovisions.com and Facebook at Senior Provisions. And we are going to sign off with our foundational scripture, as we do every week, from Philippians 4:19, that my God will supply for all of your needs through his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. There's no greater provision than Jesus himself. We love you, and we just hope that you have a blessed week.